Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 71. Lord, the Lord travels to Indraprastha. Text number 13. Nirgamaya varodhan svan.
Nirgamaya varodhan svan.
Sasatan sa paricharyan.
Sasatan sa paricharyan.
Sankarshanam manugyapya.
Sankarshanam manugyapya.
Yarurajham cha satruhan.
Yarurajham cha satruhan.
Sutopanitam svaratam.
Sutopanitam svaratam.
Haruhal gurudhadvajam.
Haruhal gurudhadvajam.
Nirgamaya varodhan svan.
Nirgamaya varodhan svan.
Sasutan sa paricharan.
Sasutan sa paricharan.
Sankarshanam manugyapya.
Sankarshanam manugyapya.
Yarurajham cha satruham.
Yarurajham cha satruham.
Sutopanitam svaratam.
Sutopanitam svaratam.
Aruhad gurudhadvajam.
Aruhad gurudhadvajam.
Nirgamaya varodhan svan.
Nirgamaya varodhan
svan. Sasutan sa paricharan.
Sasutan sa paricharan.
Sankashanam manukhyapya.
Sankashanam manukhyapya.
Yadurajham cha satruhan. Sutopanitam svaratam.
Sutopanitam svaratam.
Aruhad gurudhadvajam.
Aruhad gurudhadvajam.
Nirgamaya varodhan svan.
Nirgamaya varodhan svan.
Sasutam sa paricharan.
Sasutam sa paricharan. Nirgamaya, making go. Avarodhan, wives. Svan, his. Sa, with. Sutan, their sons. Sa, with. Parichadan, their baggage. Sankashanam, Lord Balaram. Anugyapya, taking leave of.
Yadurajam.
the king of the Yadus, Ugrasena. Cha. And Satruhan, O killer of enemies. Parikshit. Sutta. By his driver. Upanitam. Brought. Sva. His. Ratam. Chariot. Aruhat. He mounted. Garuda. Of Garuda. Vajam. Whose flag. Translation. O slayer of enemies, after he had arranged for the departure of his wives, children, and baggage, and taken leave of Lord Sankarshan and King Ugrasena, Lord Krishna mounted his chariot, which had been brought by his driver. It flew a flag marked with the emblem of Garuda. Purport. Having accepted Uddhava's proposal, Lord Krishna first proceeded with his wives, family and entourage to the royal city of Indraprastha, the capital of the Pandavas. The rest of this chapter describes Lord Krishna's journey to that city and how he was received there by his loving devotees. In Indraprastha, Lord Krishna explained to the Pandavas his plan to first kill Jarasandha and then perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, and with their full agreement he proceeded with Bhimasena to settle accounts with the wicked king. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Lord Krishna's wives had also been invited to the Rajasuya sacrifice and were eager to go. The description of the colourful royal procession begins with the following verse. So, just in the purport there, Hridayananda Goswami giving a description of the rest of this chapter, a summary describing how Krishna from this point proceeds to Indraprastha to visit the Pandavas, and there he presents his plan to Maharaj Yudhisthira to first kill Jarasandha and then perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, and to go with Bhimasena to visit Jarasandha and engage in a fight. So here Lord Krishna, he arranges for the departure of his wives, children, and all their baggage and luggage and what have you. And then he specifically takes leave of Lord Sankarshan, Balaram, and King Ugrasena. So this is these pastimes of the Lord are very exemplary in that they give us an understanding of how to go about our activities in this world, and so therefore certain personalities, if we are leaving on a journey, then before we go, it is good to visit important people within our lives or within our environment, and explain to them what we are doing, get their blessings and their permission, and depart like that. So quite often in this world, in the age of Kali, we generally don't do anything with the proper etiquette. We just sort of do things. And that's why generally people are very disturbed. There's a lot of quarrel in this age because we tend to just, people just tend to, they have some particular thing that they are doing, and they become, we become absorbed in that, and we just go and do it, and we don't really properly consider first how it, our actions will affect other people, and secondly, we even if we do consider how it may affect other people, sometimes we don't care, And sometimes even if we do care about how other people may be affected, we may not do anything about it anyway, out of laziness. So, you know, the way we do things in this, you know, age of Kali is very different to the way, you know, things should be done. And, so you get a very nice picture here. So Krishna, of course, you know, departed and made sure that, you know, he said his farewells literally to, you know, everyone in Dwarka, you know, like to see off Krishna on his journey. And but at the same time, he wanted to specifically make sure that personalities, his very dear brother Balaram and the king of Ugrasena, you know, specifically to make a special visit to those people. I was actually describing yesterday to one of the devotees how when I actually became a Hare Krishna in 1978, and I actually came to the temple here, and I saw the devotees chanting on the streets, and then one of the devotees said, "Come back to the temple." So I came back to the temple, and I was talking with Ramai, who was not Ramai Swami at that stage, but he was Ramai Prabhu, and he said he was traveling on a bus the next day, and they were going to Perth, and you know, they'd be chanting and feasting and festivals, and so I said, "Oh, I'd like to come along." And so I said, I'll go home and I'll get my things. And he said, "That's okay, I'll, you know, drive you down the next morning, so you just stay here the night and I'll take you down." So the next morning he drove me down to Dramana on the Mornington Peninsula. And as an example of how not to do things, it just reminded me. So, of course, you know, I went in and said to my parents, basically, as I was just throwing a few clothes and an old duffel bag, you know, I'm joining the Hare Krishna, see ya, you know. And basically, you know, that was it. There was about 5 minutes, and I was really there just to get my stuff and, you know, out the door and jump in the van with the Hare Krishnas, and off I went, you know. So very, very different to how things should be done. You know, looking back, of course, I try and be, you know, my parents are not really devotees, but they're favourable. But even still, I generally try and consult them to some degree as to, you know, if there's important things going on. I don't sort of do that to them anymore as far as possible. But, you know, so it's interesting how we can, you know, that we should learn from Srimad Bhagavatam about etiquettes in all, you know, different fields of life, how to deal with each other, how men deal with, you know, men, how men deal with women, and, you know, vice versa, how we deal with our relatives, how we deal with those who are devotees on all different levels, how we deal with those who are not devotees. Everything is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And, you know, for the devotees, of course, who are, you know, at the moment on the marathon, selling Srila Prabhupada's books, that's you know, one very important technique in presenting you know, these books, these literatures to other people, is that when we meet someone, we somehow very quickly try to ascertain some common ground. And of course these days, you know, anxiety, freedom from anxiety and what have you, seems to be a very important feature of people's lives. Everyone is suffering from anxiety, so, you know, of course these books help people to become immediately, you know, as soon as people read these books, it immediately gives them a sense of hope and happiness, and you know, a sense of you know, places them on the path of liberation from material existence. You know, as soon as they take these books and you know, put them in their homes, they have a very, very powerful effect. Actually, Sri Murthy was telling me yesterday that she was describing a quote from Srila Prabhupada, how you know, when book distribution goes on, that all the other programs in the temple are, you know, they automatically flourish. You know, that was Srila Prabhupada's, you know, he had that vision. Because he knew, sometimes we can't quite place the connection, you know, how is, you know, this department going to benefit if someone else is just distributing books? How does that happen? But the idea there is that Srila Prabhupada knows that this is Krishna's strategy at this particular time. Krishna is very intelligent. He knows that these books, he has invested, you know, his full potencies in these books in the holy name. And he knows that if we distribute these books, that Krishna will make all arrangements. Krishna will be very, very pleased with his devotees by following that strategy, and everything will be properly arranged. Just here we see that Krishna is going to Maharaj Yudhisthira. He has a particular strategy, and of course Maharaj Yudhisthira will embrace that strategy, and he knows that by following Krishna's strategy that there will be success for everyone in the world. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada and, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, they have come up with a strategy that, you know, we should preach Krishna consciousness and spread the chanting of the holy name, but this book distribution is the Brihat Madanga. It is, you know, beating on the big drum. So when we chant the holy name of the Lord, which we should do, people may hear that for one or two blocks, but when we beat on the big Madanga of book distribution, then, you know, people hear that. It just reverberates throughout the universe in ways that we cannot understand. And as I was saying when Sri Murthy was describing yesterday how she was living with someone who had tried to make her vegetarian, right, for quite a long time and hadn't been successful, and then someone gave her the higher taste, was it?
I was actually living on my own, but I was, I met a devotee and he was trying to encourage me to be vegetarian.
Right. So, you know, there is a special potency in, you know, these transcendental literatures that, you know, we can't perceive it with material intelligence, but somehow or another, just having these books in a person's hand, just them giving a donation, you know, that book being in their house, it all takes effect. And, you know, sometimes they've been described as like little time bombs, you know, that sometimes that the books just they go out to someone, and sometimes that person is not in, you know, interested in the book, but they put the book in their home, you know, they somehow feel, you know, I'll just leave it there, you know, and someone else comes to their home and they pick up the book and they become a devotee, which is actually what happened to me. I was actually at a party, you know, and quite intoxicated, and I actually was sitting next to a live bin, pulled out a Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and started flicking through that. And even in my intoxicated state, I could understand that this was what I'd been looking for, you know, practically since I was able to read. And I asked that lady, and she allowed me to take that book home, and I just read the Bhagavad Gita. And after reading that, I wanted to read another book, and I remembered my brother had a pink book, which, you know, And I thought, I wonder if, you know, I somehow felt that that pink book was connected to this book. And I searched my brother's room, and in a box under his bed, there was the pink book, which is the Nectar of Devotion. And so then I read that. And you know, after reading those two books, I actually, you know, kept saying you should associate with devotees. Because I didn't quite realise devotees actually existed. I'd actually seen the Hare Krishnas before, but I'd never really connected them. You know, I'd just seen them, you know, not very much. I never really properly connected them with the books. But I was thinking, you know, I'd like to associate with Hare Krishna devotees. So Krishna obviously fulfilled that desire. So, you know, you can see that, you know, the books, they have a transcendental life of their own. You know, they just sort of, sometimes they just sort of transcendentally blow up. You know, and destroy, you know, they blow up someone's material life, that's the end, it's finished, everything's destroyed. And but unlike material bombs, when a spiritual bomb goes off, they destroy the bad things, and then they replace it with, you know, a whole spiritual better alternative. So, but everything is there in these books, and they're very, very powerful. And you know, you can relate to people on any level, whether it be if they're into economics, you know, if they're into fighting, you know, if they're into chess, you know, yoga, anything, whatever they're into. If you actually know these books properly, and you know, I've heard different stories of devotees who are, you know, very expert, that, you know, they'll meet someone, they'll very quickly understand what that person sort of, you know, what they're into, and they can, you know, immediately recall, you know, certain books that'll be where, you know, those things of interest will be found for that person, and they can recommend them. So as Srila Prabhupada says, you know, we should know these books like we know, you know, like a lawyer knows law books. You know, if you approach a lawyer, and you know, you ask them something, then they immediately, you know, they're well versed in where to look up certain precedents and laws and procedures and what have you. So you know, a devotee should know these books, not just casually, but they should understand them like that. They're a very, very powerful preaching tool. So here, you know, this etiquette here is nicely explained. And you know, these, in this day and age, where people have no understanding really of what should be done and what should not be done, you know, people are just in complete darkness in, you know, every level of life, and therefore, you know, their lives are chaotic. And if they somehow read these, and just, you know, very, very simple, they don't have to be very philosophical to be able to derive immense benefit, you know. If you, they can read the pastimes, you know, if a mother reads the pastimes of, you know, Yasoda and little baby Krishna, then they see, oh, you know, you're supposed to love your baby. Because they don't always know that. You know, mothers in this day, they don't know, you know. That it's like news to them, big news. Oh, I'm supposed to get this little baby and love them and, you know, cuddle them and, you know, look after them and always be thinking of their welfare. They don't. They're doing something else completely different. It does, sometimes it doesn't enter their mind. Sometimes they think about it, but they don't do it. You know, but, you know, reading those pastimes with Mother Yasoda and little baby Krishna, you can understand, you know, it gives us something to work towards. You know, that's how you be a mother. Or you read about, you know, Nanda, or, you know, Lord Chaitanya's parents. In this way, and you know, here Krishna, you know, how he's treating his brother Balaram, you know, he's just, you know, being very, always very special dealings. And you see with Balaram how he treats his brother. You know, generally, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, they fight with each other. You know, if you have a big brother, the big brother like feels that, you know, they have younger siblings so that they can harass them, you know. And they don't realise that, you know, they are, you know, there to protect them, to look after them, to show an example. You know, you don't get that with elder brothers, you know, elder sisters. They don't often do that. these days. You know, they just completely, they don't want anything to do with the younger siblings. You know, it's like, you know, get out of my hair, get, you know, go and play with your own friends, you know. And, you know, there's just not that conception of protection, setting an example, looking after them, showing them love, helping the parents, you know, siblings, quite often the elder children in a family, they would, you know, assist the parents in raising a child. You know, there's a saying that it actually takes a village to raise a child. You know, in this day and age, you know, you get two parents and they try and raise a child. They generally don't have the support of the grandparents, have been replaced by television. Right? Why have grandparents when you can have a television? What the television used, what grandparents used to do, the television does. The grandparents would, you know, now parents are thinking, oh, you know, I've got to do some chores, or what do I do with the children? Let's put them in front of the TV. And previously, the grandparents, you know, were only too happy, you know, to spend some time, you know, love the grandchildren, and they tell them stories, and those stories, of course, were filled with, you know, culture. From, you know, thousands of years of culture, and so they were gradually passing on civilization through little children's stories and little nursery rhymes. But now, you know, instead of grandparents, we've got Bart Simpson, and, you know, at least Lisa's a vegetarian, that's something. But, you know, there's, you know, so, you know, previously not, and, you know, the elder children would also assist, you know, to raise the children in a very, very substantial way. Of course, you know, children these days, you know, the thought that they will have to do anything, let alone somehow assist the parents, is completely obnoxious to them. And that, you know, they will fight against that very, very strongly. So, you know, people just have no real idea. They've just lost it completely. They're just in complete darkness, you know. And therefore, families, you know, the whole structure of society, families are just completely breaking down. And because the family unit is broken down, it has just undermined everything within society. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, when the sort of, you know, family tradition, when that is destroyed, then all the social welfare projects and, you know, community projects, they all come to nothing. You know, you see, there are so many different groups, and they are somehow, you know, they're trying to help society in this way and trying to help in that way and trying to help. But if they don't teach people how to live in that family unit and an extended family unit, which is the very foundation of society, and nothing else, they're all like band-aids, nothing else will fix the problem. So, you know, people don't have to be big philosophers, they don't have to be yogis, they don't have to be, you know, any of these different things to be able to derive, you know, immense benefit from these books. That, you know, just the ordinary person on the street, you know, if they just learn how to, you know, just what to eat. They don't know what to eat anymore. You know, people don't know what to eat. They don't know how to be clean. You know, what to speak of, you know, so many other, you know, introducing a devotional mood and learning how to offer things to Krishna. You know, people don't know how to offer things to Krishna. So if we can give these books to people and somehow relate to them, then everyone will be benefited, you know, in so many different ways. And of course, you know, that is the beginning. And then along with that, we should also try to, you know, provide a supporting background where those people who have somehow come in contact with the book, the devotees gradually get to see them, talk to them, and, you know, help them to understand things that have taken their interest in the books. Because really, without the association of the devotees, you know, the work is not complete. know, that is very, very important. The books will inspire people to, you know, to want to do things, but really without the example of the devotees, it's very difficult for them to actually properly conceive of how it all works. They can get an idea, you know, Krishna will inspire them within the heart. To give an example, when I read the Bhagavad Gita, I read the Bhagavad Gita before I met the devotees, and I read the Nectar Devotion. I remember I said that to Ramaswami the night I sort of joined up, and I said, you know, I've read these books, and he said, did you understand them? And I said yes, but I knew that, you know, I said yes, like I understood them because I wanted to associate with devotees in that sense, but I knew that, you know, it was just like there was a whole gulf of, you know, real understanding between, you know, between that understanding now and then even just being with devotees for a few days, you could see, you know, that how incomplete my understanding was. And to give an example, I was a landscape gardener previously, and when I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, you know, I read that you should offer everything to Krishna. And so, you know, I used to fill up my wheelbarrow with dirt, and then I'd think, well, you know, I've got to offer this to Krishna. So, you know, I'd walk to the other end where I was supposed to dump it out, and I'd dump it out and say, there you, Krishna, I don't know what you want with it, but I'm offering you this barrel of dirt, you know. So you sort of know that everything's got to be for Krishna, but you really don't know the practicalities, you know. You sort of, without the association. And, you know, as I think back on it now, it's interesting how you sort of cheat yourself, because I was very happy to offer him a barrel of dirt, but when I got paid, I seemed to have forgotten that principle. You know? You know? I somehow remember that I never quite thought that this is, you know, there was immediately, oh, what, how am I going to spend this for my sense gratification, you know? So, you know, we can cheat ourselves. So the books are very, very important, but then, you know, the supporting programs of giving association on a regular basis as much as we can, and then allowing those people to really assimilate that understanding, that is very important. So those things, and therefore we have these temples, and we also have home programs and so many different things like that. So I'll just leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments.
Generally, the Sri Chaitanya is supposed to be read after the Bhagavatam, right?
Yes.
Why is it that sometimes in book distribution, the Sri Chaitanya
is
also distributed?
Mm. So the same with the Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, distributed. It is sort of a graduate study of the Bhagavad Gita, and yet we distribute Krishna book as well. That is the expertise of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was so expert, you know, he was empowered to comment on these books in his purports in such a way that, you know, he was able to allow people to immediately sort of enter into something which they really had no access to. Very, very expert, and a very expert. That something that was, such an elevated platform of transcendental understanding, and yet Srila Prabhupada, one, he understood our mentality. You know, and that in itself is, you know, that is a symptom of his compassion. You know, when people really care about you, they can sort of understand. When people don't care about you, you know, they cannot really enter into understanding, you know, people, especially if they're different to where they're from. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada's compassion was so penetrating, so deep and powerful, that it allowed him to literally enter within the hearts of people and to understand, you know, their mood, their thought, their conditioning, you know, their hopes and desires like that. And, you know, with his compassion, and his expertise, and his, you know, he had such a complete understanding of Vedic culture, how it is applicable in this day and age, what is applicable, what is not applicable. He had a complete understanding of all Vedic literatures, and in this way he was able to combine just this overall picture according to time, place and circumstances, so that someone can pick up a Krishna book or a Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they just, you know, very quickly they're able to you know, sort of get some taste, some understanding from them. But Srila Prabhupada was also very expert in that generally, for instance, if you read through say the Krishna book or, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita and what have you, at some point Srila Prabhupada will mention that, you know, these literatures, they're like sugar candy, or, you know, a sweet, that, you know, you can bite them on that side, you can bite them on that side, wherever you bite them they're sweet, they're delicious. So you know, all these literatures are like that. Wherever you know, you open up a page here, that, you know, some devotees are like that. They don't necessarily have a regulated reading where they're reading through something in a systematic way. They've sort of gone through the books, and then what they do is just wherever they happen to open up, they just read, because it's just all so nectarian. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada will then, in his purports, direct people to systematically, you know, take association devotees and, you know, understand Bhagavad Gita first, and he will point out that, you know, people, it's not good to, you know, artificially or intellectually try to understand something beyond our level, that we're better off to properly first understand that we're, you know, not this body, and that we're a spirit soul, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, in Srila Prabhupada's books, he allowed people to get a taste, and at the same time, he directed them, you know, to then properly take up the study. And also, because, you know, Srila Prabhupada understands that when we're distributing books, a certain something will capture someone when they first, you know, get a taste of Srila Prabhupada's books. In other words, you may give a book to someone and they'll read something from the Chaitanya Charitamrita which to that particular person at that point of time is exactly what they needed to hear. They may then, you know, later go, that they will then, you know, take up association with devotees and learn that they should study things properly. But at that particular time, what they read in that Krishna book, you know, in that Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Nectar Devotion. You know, I look back at the Nectar Devotion and I admit now I had no idea what it was about. You know, I really had no idea. And yet when I read it, you know, even without properly understanding, I just felt that, you know, I read the whole book knowing that I didn't understand. You know, as I got through the latter chapters, I knew I don't understand this, but I just wanted to see what it was saying. And what I got from it was that there is a complete system of going back to Godhead and understanding Krishna in a very personal relationship. So I needed to see that book. I needed to read the whole book to see that, yes, that's what it was offering. I probably wouldn't have got... I got that idea from the Bhagavad Gita, but when I read the Nectar Devotion, I didn't understand it, but what I did understand was here is a complete system which I really want to learn at some time, and it is teaching me how to have a personal relationship with God. And that I understood. So, so it's very important, you know, we distribute books, we try and be a little discriminating in how we distribute them, and at the same time, we should also have faith in, you know, that this whole process is transcendental as well. You know, sometimes by circumstances we only have a particular book left. I remember one time we were in Perth, and we had thousands and thousands of these they were like a little newspaper type thing that were printed up, and they had in them about vegetarianism, and there was an article about the myth of the innocent citizen, something like that. It was all about how people, you know, who are very fearful of nuclear war and things like that, and war in itself, were people think that they're, you know, innocent people are dying in wars, where the article was pointing out that if people continue to slaughter cows, that there will be a reaction where their children will also be slaughtered en masse. So that was the general gist. So we had thousands and thousands of them, and they sat there for, you know, a long, long time. Devotees didn't know how, you know, where to distribute them or how to distribute them. And one day, temple president was away anyway, they had this massive big sit-in, sort of protest in Perth against war and, you know, the nuclear thing and like that. And I thought, this would be the perfect place to distribute these magazines, you know. So there were like just thousands of people sitting around in the park, and we handed out these things really quickly. Like I said to the devotees, I want you to go in like as quick as you can, before they can read them, give them out. And you know, so anyway, they thought that they were getting something about the protest. So it was a bit of a trick. But anyway, they started reading, and they're reading that, you know, basically you're sitting here thinking that we're all innocent, it's not our fault. But have you ever thought that if you're killing cows and doing all this sort of thing, that maybe you may be implicated? So anyway, you know, so it was a very poignant moment for them. You know, perhaps at the time they were thinking about them, for them to then read that, that, okay, maybe there's something positive we can do about it. So we ended up distributing, you know, the whole lot in that one go. But, you know, for a long time they just sat there. And sometimes, you know, you find that a particular temple, they've distributed all certain books and there's only one book left. And you think, well, maybe it's not appropriate. But, you know, a lot of these things, well, you know, not a blade of grass moves, you know, in this world without the sanction of Krishna. And somehow, you know, Krishna has some particular transcendental plan. And you can guarantee that even if it was perhaps by accident, that Krishna will make up for it. And he will make, okay, perhaps you've got all the, you know, just this particular type of book. Krishna, by his transcendental arrangements, he will send all the type of people that perhaps can get something out of that particular book. The other people will stay home that day. So, yeah, we just, you know, they're very, very powerful. And the whole thing goes on, you know, by Krishna's arrangement. And, you know, he is very, very, Krishna is very, very eager to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desires to make everyone Krishna conscious through distributing these transcendental liturgies. So, you know, we generally try and discriminate, but under certain circumstances we should distribute books, you know, somehow or another as much as possible, and know that Krishna will, you know, help us, that the right person will get them at the right time as well.
I fully agree with you, because even I just got, actually I got interested because I heard a passage from Chaitanya Chaitanya. I had forgotten Gita for years and I couldn't really understand what it was trying to say. I felt it was more philosophical.
Right.
And then I heard this, and then I thought, oh, there's so much depth in it, and then I heard that that's the right order to read.
Right, so okay. There you go. Compliment.
Really enjoyed it, and I got this. And what you said, like, at that particular time when you have some nagging doubt and you really don't know how to ask that,
yes,
you find that this, or that moment, you actually pick that right book. That's where the timing comes. Somebody gives you that book and you open a particular page, and that's exactly what you wanted.
Yeah,
so there's everything so translated, there's the arrangement.
That's right.
So we never really know what that person wants because we are not capable of understanding. So if that moment is appropriate, and like you said, if there's nothing else, then perhaps that's what they need.
The confirmation. Yeah, thank you for that. That's nice. Yeah. That's good. Any other questions or comments at all?
Normally people take these in a particular way, like what Krishna was demonstrating. But you find that in Kali Yuga today, because the other person that you're taking it's not really in that capacity to understand, misunderstand your behavior.
Yes.
So even though the devotee may be following the scriptures and doing certain things in the right, proper way, because the other person is not able to,
they can't reciprocate.
Understanding that the elders there, they either misunderstand or they stop you from doing a good activity. So it's hard to really behave in that way.
That's right,
and
yeah.
I found time and time again in my daily life that you actually do something completely in cognizance with the scriptures and people have no understanding and they react in a completely material way, which makes you stop that activity. So it is quite difficult, I
would assume. Yeah. No, it's a fact. We should understand what is correct, and then we should implement as far as we can. Yeah. But at least we have the understanding. That's important. And then, according to time and circumstance, we try and do what we can. But yeah, it is not possible to do, you know, so many things in this day and age. Yeah. All right, all glory to Prabhupada. Jai.